I'll sit down and you can stand up. Thanks, Joint.
Do I have to stand?
You can stand, yes.
I've never been up here other than like cleaning the church, and I was quite content with that, but anyway. That was very encouraging what you said. Because I was thinking actually this week, like, so many times I've kind of ashamedly, like, kind of given the devil that foothold, kind of like, in the sense that I've been saying to myself, like, oh, I'm so young and there's so many wise people here and, you know, what can I say? But, do you know, there's, you know, no sense in that, because when I think, you know, of all the stuff that Jesus has done for me, it's, I would be cruel and selfish, I think, not to share that. And it's very, you know, it's a joy to be here and to share what Jesus has done for me. I'm very lucky that for all that Jesus has done in my life. So, thank you. I think most of you know me. I don't think there's anyone that I don't. But I think probably just for a bit of background, I'm 19 and I'm a student nurse. So I'm living at home. So I'm living in Scalpay, which I suppose is kind of a good place to start. So I was brought up in Scalpay, which was lovely. Very thankful for my upbringing. I was raised by lovely Christian parents and grandparents, but even more than that, like school teachers and neighbours, you know, Scalpay is such a God-driven place, and, you know, that was of massive benefit to me, like, yes, in my childhood, but I think I probably didn't kind of appreciate it as much then, but, you know, as I've gotten older, like, all the, you know, Sunday school and all these, like, little things that kind of I was involved in growing up, that kind of really shaped me, and you know, I'm so thankful for that now. So it's, yeah, like, it's that, you know, there's not many kids that can kind of say they were grown up in that kind of such a Christian environment. So I was very fortunate and privileged for my upbringing. So, like, I could have, you know, I knew all the stories and all the catechisms and everything. And I think, so that was, you know, lovely, like, from a young age. And I think even as, I suppose, I got that wee bit older and, you know, the people in my class kind of started tailing off church and, you know, my older sisters as well. I think, well, you know, granted I had my lazy days, but I kind of don't want to go out, but I think there was such a sense of warmth and importance in being in church, and that never left me, I think. I always knew that church was important, and whilst I probably didn't understand the whole concept of it all, I was thankful that I was there, and I knew that that meant something for as long as I could remember. So, but I don't think it was kind of until I was probably 10 or 11, I think, the Lord started to kind of intervene that wee bit more and kind of, I suppose, challenge me a wee bit. So it started, I think, this one night. It was so random. This one girl who I knew quite well, not close friends, but I knew she went to church. We were walking home from youth club one night, and she turned to me and she just asked me out of the blue, like, if I was a Christian. And that really, it really threw me, like, you know, if anyone was to know the answer to that, like, a very young friendship, you know, that should have been me, and I should have known exactly what to say. But I didn't, I didn't understand, you know, what she was asking of me, and, you know, I blew it off. I was just like, oh, I don't know, and I kind of bluffed my way through it. But as much as I kind of tried to throw it off and forget about it, it was eating away at me, that question, and I knew there was more to that than I was kind of understanding. So, I carried on, and I tried to forget about it, but I couldn't. It was eating away at me, and this went on for, a few weeks, and I remember one night being at a sleepover, and it was like 3 a.m, and all the girls I was with were fast asleep, and I was thinking to myself, you know, this was just putting them in the back of my mind, and I just thought to myself, well, you know, I've heard so many prayers, and I know that there is this God up there, and I thought, well, I'll just ask him myself, you know, what is a Christian? And so, just totally simple, you know, I pulled that out to Jesus, and kind of, that was me, I kind of forgot about it, I suppose, that wee bit. But I think the following week or some time after, I was at a church camp. So my first one, actually, we were in Scarladale, and we, on the Sunday, went to, it was Gower Church, actually, and I remember, I was seeing this at girls' group the other day, like, I remember I had my new Bible and my new notebook, and I was so prepared for the service. I felt, like, so lovely and ready to take down all my notes. And as the minister started kind of, it was like the structure of a service, I don't think my pen touched the paper. It was all about, like, he just gave it his 3 points. He was like, we're going to be looking at Christianity. What is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And I think it kind of hit me all then that, you know, there is a lot more to faith than I realised. I think for the first time I'd kind of had a personal, kind of more intimate relationship with Jesus. I kind of realised that actually he is there and he is listening and he has answered me. And I thought all these lessons from my, you know, my youth that I had learned and seen in church and seen off like these older, wise Christians, I think it kind of all flooded into one, and I realised for the first time that, you know, it's not a case of God being up here and me being down here and he's looking at me, but rather it's, you know, he's there right beside me and it's a personal relationship, he's a friend. So kind of the more the service went on, the kind of, you know, the more convicted I was, because I realised, you know, I don't have what these people have yet. Like, I go to church and I know all the stories, but actually I don't know God personally. And that really hit me, and, you know, I had that total conviction. And, you know, all I had to do was just run home and, you know, pour my heart out to Jesus. But I remember it was, like, the longest night of my life. Like, I had to go to youth fellowship and have pizza and all this. And then I had to go. I remember it so clearly. Like, there was 2 buses going back to Scarlett, and one went back, no bother. And the one I was on was, like, loaded with Christians who all started telling their testimonies, and we were on that bus till like 2 a.m. and the more they were sharing, the more I was convicted, and I felt, oh, I never felt worse, you know. So it was the longest night ever, but eventually, you know, I did get back to my bed, and I just, you know, I broke and I just poured my heart out to Jesus. You know, there's no worse feeling than that complete realisation of how distant you are from Jesus. And I tossed into her for hours. I eventually fell asleep, just, you know, so broken. But it's a bit cliche, but I woke up the next morning just with that complete, you know, overwhelming peace of the Lord, and just that kind of, you know, that surpassing peace that he has, and that was poured out over me, and I had complete clarity and complete assurance that, you know, I was one of his. And I feel like I should say, you know, that was my experience. You know, I had that complete assurance. I know that a lot of my friends didn't have that same kind of, you know, assurance. So if that's you, you know, that's, you know, everyone's different, I suppose. But for me, I had that complete assurance, so that I had been converted. And that was a really lovely time. Like, so I was 11 then, 11 when I was converted at that camp. I wouldn't say that much changed, really, in my faith. You know, at that time, I was kind of, I was still in Scarpa School at that time, so, you know, that nothing changed. I was still going to church as often as I had been. I think kind of ashamedly, I didn't profess my faith for a couple of years later. I was 13 when I went forward, and that was purely just, I think, because I love church and I love being there, and I thought, you know, if I go forward and these, you know, children are saying, like, no, you can't, you know, don't be stupid. I was like, I have to see these people every day in my community, and I love them, and I really put it off for as long as, you know, yeah, for a long time. But I was quite challenged. I had a lot of, there was no young people in Scarpe, which was quite tough in itself, but I did have a lot of Christian friends kind of elsewhere, and they were very encouraging, and seeing them go forward and the joy that gave them, you know, that really, that kind of convicted me, and I knew it was the right thing. But I was so, you know, stupidly, I was so afraid of what people would think, and whether, you know, they would think, oh, it's just a phase. And I've got a verse, actually, I better find it, which kind of, I think this verse challenged me, and not soon after finding this verse, I did start going to the prayer meeting. But it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." So that did challenge me, and I did eventually pluck up the courage to go forward, and that was a really lovely time. So that was in Scalpe as well, and that was such a, like, I felt like I was in such a lovely Christian bubble, kind of, 11, 12, 13. I hadn't gone to first year yet, but I was so, I loved church, and I was really kind of growing in my relationship with Jesus, getting to know him more and more. So I was in this lovely bubble, and it was, all lovely, but it didn't last very long, to be honest. So I went to first year, and I very much struggled with, I think, that transition, just because Scalpe School was so tiny and we were so close, and, jumping from P7 to first year, just, I think anybody, 2020, that's not an easy year, kind of, for a teenager to be growing in, and there was such pressure, and just constantly feeling like you're needing to do more and be more, and I struggled with things, popularity and reputation and building up this life for yourself, and I feel like it was a lot of things at once, and it's such a massive change. So I did let myself get lost in that, which was very challenging. I think kind of my faith took the back seat because there was all this new stuff in my life. Nothing to the point of, I was never, drinking and things like that, never my scene, but in a way I think that's kind of even more challenging. We were talking about this at Life Explorer not that long ago, just how the devil uses like that kind of secret sin that, I was so lost and Jesus was nowhere in my life. Jesus was at the root of nothing. I'm such a control freak, and I was trying to sort out this life for myself and build up, my own good Instagram page and my good friend group and everything like that, and that was tough. Jesus was not anywhere to be seen, and I think on the outside looking in, I was, doing fine. I had good, fairly good grades and a good job and good friends, but I was very consumed by the world, I think, which is not easy. There's actually, I'll be quicker finding on this probably, a couple of verses in Hosea, which I kind of think sums up my teenage years, kind of that struggle that I had, sums it up quite well. It's in Hosea chapter 2. I will punish her for the day she burned incense to the gods. She decked herself with rings and jewellery and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of trouble a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth and as in the day she came out of Egypt. So that does kind of sum up, my teenage life. I was very consumed, and that was difficult. I love in Luke 10 that kind of the encounter Jesus has with Mary and Martha. Maybe I'll find it actually. I'm very much a Martha. It says, find it. As Jesus and her disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about so many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And so that was, very much me. I was worried about this, that, and the next thing, but not Jesus. And, I look back now and I just think, we're such fools for not always running to Jesus with every worry and every burden. I always think, how it must break his heart, watching us trying to find contentment and satisfaction and absolutely everything else. We're always constantly looking around us for a love that he is so desperate to give, and, God is always waiting for each of our requests, so eager to grant them, and yet we're always chasing something different. And so yeah, I was chasing all of these things, getting nowhere, I think, kind of thinking I was in quite good control of my life, and really there was no foundation to anything. You know, I was, whilst I think everything looked quite good on the outside, you know, there was no purpose, no contentment, because Jesus was just not at the root of any of it. So I had quite, I had a fragile faith, really, kind of through my teens. I think, you know, even as lost as I was, you can still make good choices, still look like it on the outside. You know, I was still going to church, and I was still, you know, I think as well, like, there's such a danger in measuring your own holiness kind of based on other people's sins. Like, I would say to myself, well, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to the prayer meeting in a while, and I've probably not prayed as much as I should, but, you know, I didn't go out, and I've been a member for this many years, and, you know, it's such a dangerous kind of way to think. You know, all that score keeping, I think that can be so damaging. You know, we have to, you know, worry about our own faiths, I suppose. So I think kind of gradually through my teens, I was kind of slowly, you know, it's amazing how God kind of reins us back in. We wander so far, and yet he reins us back in. I think gradually through my teens, like, quite a lot of things would kind of not go my way, and not, were kind of slipping out of my grasp, and I was questioning, you know, why I'm doing all this good stuff, and I'm, you know, I've got good grades, and I've got into my degree, and I've got a good job, and a good long-term relationship, but slowly things were kind of slipping out of my reach. And I think it kind of got to the point where, you know, I realised I'm actually not in control of absolutely anything at all, and please be that I'm not, because I'd be a hot mess, really. And I think it took me a while to kind of, you know, from the time I accepted Jesus when I was 11 to kind of walking with Jesus daily and picking up my cross daily and, you know, living a life with him, that took me a long lesson to learn. I think just because there's so much the world throws at you, and it's so difficult to get, you know, not caught up in all of that. But, you know, I think the Lord kind of opened my eyes and showed me, you know, I'm in the world, not off the world, and his is the path of abundance. And that's, you know, if we're totally rooted in Jesus, like, you know, in all the world of changing things, our souls can still be steady. And, you know, in every circumstance, we can choose, you know, the calm over chaos and peace over perfection. I saw things, I think something today somewhere that said, know that I don't have to be perfect, I can be good. And that's so liberating. You know, I don't have to know the answers to absolutely everything tonight. I don't need to, you know, have my whole life figured out. I don't need to be perfect. I don't have to have this many followers. I don't need to have this, you know, this percentage of my essay, because ultimately, you know, if I'm good in his sight, you know, I can't go far wrong. So there's such, you know, it's so liberating, isn't that, really? What else can I say? Yeah, I think it's, it's tough being a Christian, I think, at this, you know, in this year, but it's so kind of, there's so much purpose in the cross. You know, I look back and I just think how unsatisfied and just going round in circles. There's no peace in that at all. But when we're kind of rooted in Jesus, you know, that's so life-giving, you know. And I'm only 19 and I've got so much to grow and learn in, but, you know, it's a joy to be on this path and to learn to be more Christ-like every day. You know, that's what we should be striving for each and every day amongst all the chaos, you know, just to be more like him, to look like him, to walk at his pace, kind of, you know, respond, I guess, to the world and all its, you know, difficulties, to respond to that, I think, with scripture and the gentleness that the Lord gives us, you know. But to do that, you know, we have to be rooted in scripture. We have to be, you know, firm in our faith and look with him and meet with him, you know, be at the foot of the cross. And I'm so guilty of getting so sidetracked by the sat on the next thing, but you know, when we're rooted in Jesus, that's so, you know, what's that verse? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these blessings, you know, when we follow Jesus, blessings follow, and that's such a joy. So I'm very thankful for my faith. It did take me a long time to kind of, I think, really learn God's grace, and that, you know, as I said, like, he's not up here, but rather he's down here with me. It's, yes, Jesus is a saviour and almighty, and, you know, he's got that power to save, but I think for me, like, Jesus is first. You know, he's a friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. You know, he knows every hair in our head. He's, you know, right there beside us, you know, cheering us on and wanting to be present in every decision. You know, no matter who we are or what stage we're at, he's, you know, rooting for us, and there's such joy and peace in that. So I think that's kind of all I'll say. I think if I don't shut up, I'll probably keep on going. Thank you. Then. Good. Thank you very much. I can relax now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane, for sharing that testimony. It was very honest, very simple in terms of when you came to faith as a little girl, really. Not a huge drama, which I think is encouraging for lots of people, because that's how lots of us came to faith. Certainly that's what I knew, and it was great to hear your honesty about the teenage years, which you're still in, and the ups and downs. Sometimes we hear testimonies and it's like, I lived a life and I did this bad thing and that bad thing and the next bad thing and the bad thing after this, and then I met Jesus and he saved me and I lived happily ever after. And the reality is that's not true, but it's often not said, and so it's encouraging to hear you saying that there's a reality about walking with the Lord. And we do, as people, we are prone to wander, as we sometimes sing.